At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
Are you on the hunt for a new home this spring, but don't know where to start? Fisher Homes is your solution. Your new home should reflect you, from the front door to the kitchen and even your outdoor space. Start your journey by selecting your ideal home site, like in a cul-de-sac or that's tree-lined, and then choose from a variety of expertly designed floor plans. Bring it all together at our Lifestyle Design Center. Let Fisher Homes be your new home solution this spring and start making memories at fisherhomes.com.
Welcome in to the New Orleans Pelicans Podcast, the official podcast of your New Orleans Pelicans, a podcast dedicated to everything you need to know about the squad. Hear from players, coaches, broadcasters, and those who cover the NBA on a daily basis. It's time to flock up. The New Orleans Pelicans Podcast starts right now.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the end of your work week. It is Friday on the New Orleans Pelicans podcast. Gus Kattengill and Jim Eichenhofer with you as always, as we are ready to get the weekend going. It's an important weekend for the Pelicans, and they got a lot to get into as the Pels have got to rebound following last night's game against the Orlando Magic. 121-106 was the final there. Pelicans unable to get the shots from beyond the arc to go down. Didn't take very many. 2 of 8 at halftime. But more importantly, Brandon Ingram went down with an injury. Was helped off the floor. We'll give you the very latest on that here in a quick second. Head coach Willie Green on the defeat.
Extremely handsy team. They got deflections. They got steals. You know, when you have 19 turnovers as a group and they score 25 points, it's tough to win on anyone's home floor. And then you add the 22nd chance points. So those two factors right there, that's, you know, death in the NBA.
So we bring in Jim Eichenhofer, NewOrleansPelicans.com. Look, we can talk about the game. Obviously, would have loved to have gotten that one. But the most important thing, obviously, was Brandon Ingram when he went down early in that third quarter.
It's extremely difficult to see him go down. Our prayers will be going up tonight, and, you know, hopefully we get some good news back.
Jim, what's the latest with Brandon?
Yeah, the Pelicans announced this morning around 9:30 that Brandon Ingram has a left knee bone bruise, and he's going to be reevaluated in 2 weeks. So I'm sure there were some people out there, including I'll put myself in this group, that had fears that his diagnosis was going to be a lot worse. When you see a knee or a leg kind of twist the way that it did, where he hyperextended it, You always think of some of the injuries that put a guy out for the season or long term. So, I mean, I think there's definitely some sigh of relief this morning to hear that what his injury is a bone bruise, like I said, that was listed.
And obviously, he's such an important part of this team. We've talked about his defense. We've talked about his offense. We've talked about his availability. One of the things the guys touched on the broadcast yesterday, Jim, that was game 63 for him. He's been available a lot this year. And that was his career high yesterday in terms of being able to be available. So we'll take a look at that time frame here in a quick second. I'm with you. When we're watching it, look, we're all fans, but we're also, you know, people, man. Mm-hmm. And like you feel for somebody that does that. And when you see somebody immediately grab the knee and holding it and in the area that he was, that's the first thing that you're thinking of is ligaments. You're thinking of tears. You're thinking of, oh, man, there goes the season. And mm-hmm. you start thinking of, my God, what a difference 24 hours makes, right? You're sitting there riding high, feeling good about yourself. And then if you were to lose a player like that. So while he is out for 2 weeks, that is good news for him. And when you hear in the locker room afterwards from CJ to Trey, there was concern not only because he wouldn't be able to play, but because of who he was as a teammate. And it just mm-hmm. shows you how close that team is together. But it is good news. You are going to miss him for 2 weeks. But if things go well, and Jim, I just look at how this team and its players who have been injured this year, CJ, Zion, Trey, Herb, they've come back on time, around time, if not better than that. Dyson Daniels is expected, but he's healthy. He's dunking. He's going through practice. He's just getting his conditioning going. Right. So I guess what I'm trying to say is, for Pels fans out there, this season, the organization and its players have shown whatever they're doing this year works. Does that make sense?
For sure. I mean, they've been able to, throughout the course of the season, have maybe a guy or two out and still be able to win games at a decent rate. Now, if you go back to the beginning of the season when we're talking 3, 4, 5 guys out, that was a lot tougher, and they weren't able to get off to a good start this season when they already had a bunch of players out starting the regular season, and then CJ McCollum went out for a big chunk of November with his lung injury. They started out 4-6. They were only 12-11 or 13-11 after the completion of the in-season tournament. But, I mean, after that, when they started getting waves of players back, whether that was Najee Marshall, Jose, some of the other players, Larry Nance, they have played at a really high level and won a lot of games, even though they haven't been necessarily 100%. Like you mentioned, Dyson Daniels hasn't been on the court the last couple weeks either. So, I mean, they have been able to continue to compete and play at a pretty good level. Now, to be clear, too, with Brandon Ingram, he's going to be reevaluated in 2 weeks, so that doesn't necessarily mean that he's going to be able to play, you know, 2 weeks from now, but hopefully the timetable after his reevaluation will be short, and he'll be able to get back on the court as soon as possible, obviously. And another thing to be clear, too, this was better than a worst-case scenario, no doubt, but it still stinks for Brandon Ingram because, I mean, like you said, he's been on the court so consistently this year. He's played in 63 games, and the team has been, more important than anything, the team has been at its most successful in the 5 years since he's been here. It feels like, you know, maybe his stats aren't as high, but who cares? The fact that the team is on the plane that it has been on, and I mean, throughout his career, when he was on the Lakers, he wasn't in the playoffs at all. And then since he's been here, he's been in the playoffs once. So I felt really good for him on a personal level, just the fact that it seemed like everything was headed towards this guy is finally going to get be in the playoffs on a team that wins 50-ish games. Yeah. And has a good seed and has a good chance to be successful in the playoffs. And we hope we still see that, but it still stinks for him that this happened at this time of the season.
And to your point, look, this is a guy that lives in a gym. He attacks it. He works all the time. You've heard that ever since he's really been here. And what's good about it is when you think about this, maybe a lot of times fans don't understand this, but with nothing structural like that, it's a bone bruise, which obviously, but that means you can start rehabbing. That means that, and that's a player that you know is going to get into the rehab. A lot mm-hmm. of times, fans don't understand what rehab means. And sure. It's not easy. You got to put in the work. Mm-hmm. You got to show up. Sometimes it's painful. You got to get that area that's bruised or that's injured moving and things of that nature. But I guess that's what I'm getting at. That's a guy that you know is going to do it. So when you hear that evaluation and things of that nature. Anyway, I just pulled it up. It's essentially the end of the homestand. 2 weeks from today would be April 5th. That is mm-hmm. the game against the Spurs at home. That is game 6 of the 6-game homestand. So if you're listening out there, you're looking at 8 games. You're looking at tonight. You're looking at Sunday against the Pistons and then the 6-game homestand. That's what is scheduled right now for him to miss.
Minimum that he'll miss. Yep. Mm-hmm.
So now what's left? It's at the Suns on the 7th, 2 days from then. Then it's the Blazers on the 9th. 2 days from there, it's the back-to-back against, I'm sorry, then you have the Kings on the 11th and the back-to-back the 12th, and then you're ready for the Lakers on the 14th. So that is the remaining game. So if in 2 weeks he's reevaluated and he's good to go, you probably imagine it's a day or so for practice and things that nature mm-hmm. to get going. Maybe not he's ready for the Suns, but he could be available for the Blazers, Kings, Warriors, Lakers. If not the final three games, Kings, Warriors, Lakers, I'm assuming coming back from an injury like that, he ain't going to play in the back-to-back. So, but that's what you're looking at. Hopefully sure. the final 4 games, 5 games of the season.
And also, too, I mean, to kind of look at the calendar a little bit further, obviously, the Pelicans are not in a comfortable position yet as far as top 6 seed for the playoffs, but that's the goal still. And the playoffs start April 20th, which is 4 weeks from tomorrow. So he has almost a month, basically, before the playoffs begin. Hopefully, between now and the end of the regular season, the Pelicans will be able to win enough games to make it so that they have a good week between the end of the regular season and the beginning of the playoffs instead of having to play a game or two in the play-in tournament.
And to your point, the final game of the season is the 14th. That is a Sunday. April 20th is a Saturday. So you will have at least the work week to get ready, rest, and get ready to go. And that's if the Pels would play on a Saturday. They could start on a Sunday as well. That's Jim Eichenhoff for NewOrleansPelicans.com. We wanted to give you that update. Look, we can go into that game, but that was obviously the most important thing. It is Friday. We're going to do our radio roundtables we've been doing every now and then. And joining us will be John DeShazer and Todd Graffanini. Then Jim and I will be right back with you to give you the Friday trending numbers. And is it a team to watch over
weekend
the weekend?
Showdown.
Weekend showdown. That's right.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's not as intense of a weekend showdown this week, but nonetheless, I did pick two Western Conference teams that are playing on Sunday. So we'll talk about that later.
All right, let's do it.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Are you on the hunt for a new home this spring, but don't know where to start? Fisher Homes is your solution. Your new home should reflect you from the front door to the kitchen and even your outdoor space. Start your journey by selecting your ideal home site, like in a cul-de-sac or that's tree-lined, and then choose from a variety of expertly designed floor plans. Bring it all together at our Lifestyle Design Center. Let Fisher Homes be your new home solution this spring and start making memories at fisherhomes.com.
Hey everyone, it's Ted from Consumer Cellular, the guy in the orange sweater, and this is your wake-up call. If you're paying too much for wireless service, you don't have to keep having that nightmare. Consumer Cellular has the same fast, reliable coverage as the leading carriers for less. And for a limited time, new customers receive their second month free when they sign up and use promo code MONTHFREE by May 31st. So why keep spending more than you have to? Seriously, wake up and call 1-888-FREEDOM or visit ConsumerCellular.com.
Taxes, fees, and other third-party charges will apply. See website for additional details.
All right, so we bring in the voices that will call your New Orleans Pelicans game tonight in Miami, of course. John DeShazer, color analyst and the voice of the Pelicans, Todd Graffanini. Jim, we got a litany of things that we want to get into here as well as it is the radio roundtable. So we're going to have some fun and discussion. But first and foremost, it is the topic of the day. And it was because of what happened last night, not just the loss, but losing Brandon Ingram. Graff, we'll start with you, the team, as we just touched on. In the opening segment, it's going to be reevaluated in 2 weeks, a bone contusion. I guess that's as good as news as you can get. Your overall thoughts seeing that happen last night and just what you expect in the next 2 weeks while he's going to be out.
Yeah. First of all, thanks for having us, guys. Look, tough news. It's never good when somebody goes down, especially with someone who is as important to the team as anybody is Brandon. But when you saw that live and JD and I were obviously there and saw the replay, it looked a whole lot worse than what we have found out now that it is. So in that sense, it is a good, I'm not going to say good news, but I would say it's probably best case scenario because it could have been a whole lot worse. And now you just, you know what the situation is and you have to deal with it. He's not going to be there for at least a couple of weeks. We'll see what happens after that. The really rough part about it is the timing. We're at the end of the season here and we're about to, I mean, you say about to go on a tough stretch. We're in the tough stretch. I mean, you don't have to go back as far as last night. We've got some really, really difficult games coming up and you'd like to have, you know, your second best player on the team. That's not going to be the case. As I was about to say, you know that now going in, and this has been a next man up mentality from the beginning since Willie Green took over as head coach, because he knows all about next man ups because he's been dealing with it since the first day of his coaching regime. And now, you know, I would imagine Trey Murphy's going to move into the starting lineup and he's going to have an opportunity now. And you're going to have guys like Jordan Hawkins, who we haven't seen in a while. I would imagine he's going to be called upon. Also, some good news. Hopefully, we're going to get Dyson Daniels back very, very soon. So, again, it's not good, but I think we've been talking about this all year long, how deep this Pelicans team in. That depth is going to be tested now and in the next couple of weeks. But I believe that the Pelicans are deep enough, and these guys that are going to be coming off the bench are experienced enough where you can make the best case scenario out of what is not a very good case.
Giddy.
Yeah, you hope you have the infrastructure on the team to be able to withstand this. And, Todd mentioned, Jordan Hawkins and, Dyson Daniels and Matt Ryan. And so, and Najee Marshall's role will increase, I would imagine. And you hope to get a little bit more out of Jose Alvarado, because you're going to have to piecemeal this. You're going to have to, get a little bit more or a little bit of something from everyone when you're missing the Brandon Ingram. But yeah, bittersweet, because when he was pounding the court in Orlando last night, it looked like it was something that was really, really serious. And it is serious. I mean, it's a bone contusion. So we know at least 2 weeks before he's reevaluated. But man, no structural damage. And that's the main thing when you're talking about something like this, that the guy, looks like he will be able to come back and play this season, because, the playoffs, hopefully will be in the playoffs. So he will be back. But when you're missing him, because now you remove one of your, your second best option, sometimes your best option down the stretch in close games. We know that Brandon Ingram is a tough shot maker. He's a guy who's able to get his shots off against tough defense and not just get them off, but make them. And so now you're in a situation where you have to put a little bit more on Zion Williamson's shoulders, CJ McCollum's shoulders. Jonas Valanciunas has been in a bit of a slump. He's going to have to get out of it, because they're going to need his production. And so you just go from there.
All right. Well, guys, let's move on to the radio roundtable here. And look, obviously, I think we all just are excited that the team is in this spot. It's crazy how difference of 24 hours you feel in the mood. You can just tell in our tone of our voices, because earlier this week, Graf, and the Pelicans have been the talk of the NBA, and pick a show, any show, about what they've been doing. So obviously the team overall has been doing something. So guys, let's start with this. What was your favorite win since the All-Star break? Todd, let's start with you. Since then, what's the biggest win to you?
All right. Well, this is an obvious answer, but in honor of Jim Eichenhofer, I'm going to go a little outside the box here. Again, the obvious answer is the Clipper game in the Smoothie King Center. I'm not going that way. I'm going Indiana at home. And you've got to understand the circumstances that surrounded that game. Of course, two nights before, we were in Indianapolis. We had all the trouble getting out of New York, walked into the hotel room at 6 a.m., and then the shenanigans that happened when we got to the arena, little gamesmanship, as Gus Kattengill would say, not being allowed to go into the Arena Bowl when we got there. It was like, what in the world is Indiana doing? They didn't play yesterday. Why are they having a closed bowl practice? We're already trudging in, exhausted. And what happened in the first quarter in that game in Indianapolis? We lost the game in the first quarter just because of how everything was and just being tired and everything. We actually won the final three quarters of that game. Yep. Mm-hmm. Well, the Pelicans took that a little personally. And then 2 days later in the Smoothie King Center, we saw a complete bust out. Pel scored 48 points in the first quarter in that ball game and absolutely ran the Pacers out of the gym. Brandon Ingram scored 34 points. Remember, he came out just smoking hot, made everything he put up. And I thought that was pretty sweet. When, again, you had to understand the context of it two nights before in Indianapolis. I know the obvious answer is the Clipper game, but I love that Pacer game.
JD?
Yeah, so grasped on my answer, because we're all trying to think outside the box. So I'll get back in the box, and I will say the Clipper game. Now, I did have my favorite at that Indiana game, obviously, because the Pels played angry, and I liked that about them. They played with an edge that night. But, March 15th against the Clippers, the 112-104 game was a good one for me. Obviously, the obvious look, because the Clippers had come into New Orleans on January 5th and ran the Pelicans into the Mississippi River, beat them by 16, 111-95. And the Pelicans did not look like a team that had the wherewithal to compete against the Clippers. I mean, the Clippers ran them out. dominated the game start to finish. And remember, Russell Westbrook came off the bench and ignited them. And it just, the Pels just didn't have any answers in that game. So for them to come back, you know, a few weeks later, a couple of months later, and to win it. I know Russell Westbrook didn't play in that game, and I think James Harden didn't either. But still, you got to beat the team that's on the floor. And they had a couple of Hall of Famers on the floor, Paul George and Kawhi Leonard. And the Pels were able to put it to them and really kind of, you know, flex on them a little bit and show them, look, we've got something that can match up against you, we feel. And I felt really good about that because, you know, that was a point, too, where the Clippers were hot. And the Pels jumped them and flexed on them a little bit and kind of not put them in their place, but showed them, look, we have a team. When we're right, we can compete with you.
The Clippers was the most important win that they've had since the All-Star break. The Pacers game was the best revenge win that they've had of the season. And I'll throw a third one in there. This may be more of a personal thing. I really enjoyed the heck out of the Atlanta win just because it was like you've already had two really good wins and you're up huge in the game in Toronto and Philly. And instead of having a third game that you're ending that road trip with a letdown or kind of a sluggish, like 1 foot out the door, 1 foot already back in New Orleans, you come out and put it on the Hawks as well. So, and also we were at Mid-City Yacht Club for a watch party, and that was just a lot of fun. Just to me, that was one of the moments where you realize, like, man, this team is legitimate right now. This team is rising in the ranks of the Western Conference. So those are my three picks.
That makes a lot of sense. He was doing body shots out there in the patio, getting everybody up. He was basically a human mascot, so I get that. I understand that. Biggest surprise of the team's recent success, JD, we'll start with you.
I'm going to go with Trey Murphy, and not so much that we're shocked that Trey Murphy is an effective player. I think we're seeing an evolving of his game. Where he's putting it on the floor a little bit more, getting to the rim a little bit more. We've seen him finish with some force, saw him finish with great force last night when he dunked it on somebody's head. And I think we're seeing a little bit more of him in terms of putting it on the floor because what opponents are saying basically is we're not going to let you have uncontested threes. And so he's going to have to evolve some from that standpoint. And he's been doing it last nine games, Pels are 7-2. He's averaging 19 and a half points, 5.2 rebounds, shooting 45% from three in 30 minutes. And that production is probably going to have to jump a little bit with Brandon Ingram out. So I think he's evolving a bit. He's going to need to because they need his outside shooting, obviously. But opponents know that the Pelicans need his outside shooting. And so they're basically rushing him at the three-point line, daring him to be able to put it on the floor. And we've seen him finish at the rim a little bit more. So that's been a nice little bit of a surprise for me.
Yeah. I'm gonna go not specific player, but just team-wise. I just think what the Pels have done on the road this year, to me, has been the biggest surprise. I mean, you know, JD and I, how many games have we done on the road together the last few years? And just the results were not there. And to see what the Pelicans have done, and they've been pretty consistent all year long away from home, but even post All-Star break, you know, Jim and I talked about this a couple weeks ago. Actually, it was last week. You were talking about the Atlanta game, all the times starting to run into each, you know, all the times running together. You know, we've swept two road trips this year. Yeah. I mean, that was unheard of. Even as recently as last year, where the Pels were way below 500 on the road. So, and despite what happened last night, I just think that game was strange after the first 5 minutes. It was just one of those deals. But I just think for the Pels to be able to go on the road and win consistently, I mean, that's why they're where they are in the standings right now. And it's pretty good when you can take your game away from home and translate it on the road. And it really starts with defense. The old adage, defense travels. Well, it certainly does. And the Pelicans defense has allowed them to win these games away from home. And it's been really, really good and surprising because there's really no precedent set in the last few years. That's all right. The Pels are going to be, you know, have 22 wins away from home. It's just, it hasn't happened. So that's what I'm going to go with.
Yeah, Graf. I mean, I feel like we've gone from a mode of, you know, you go into some of these multi-game road trips saying, like, let's try to break even, to now all of a sudden you're winning every single game. So you're right. I mean, that is a huge transformation and a huge jump, and awesome to see. My biggest surprise since the All-Star break has been the three-point shooting of several of, I guess, what you would call role players on the Pelicans. Mm-hmm. Now, to use three examples, before the All-Star break, Herb Jones was at 41% from three. Najee was at 38. Jose was at 36, which those are all really good numbers. Those are above average three-point shooting, especially for Herb and Najee. But since the All-Star break, going into last night's game, Najee was at 41, Jose was at 44, and Herb was at 55. So all of those guys, after they had a really good first 50 plus games of the season and shown huge strides, have been even better over the last collection of games. So to me, that's been a big surprise. And I just picture Fred Vinson smiling like a proud papa when he sees the way that these guys have progressed. And I know all four of us have seen the amount of time that, especially in particular with Coach Vinson, that Herb and Najee have spent in the corner of the gym, just relentlessly working overtime on their three-point shots, especially from the corners. So to see the results that they've gotten, and to see all of those guys not be just like the guys that, okay, the ball swung to them, you hope it goes in. But now I think with all of them, you're expecting it to go in. And if you look at the way they've shot the ball, that's been such a huge boost to why the team has won so much since the All-Star break.
And henceforth, it is not Najee. It is 8 the Great. Okay. It is no longer Najee. It is 8 the Great. Although 8 wasn't so great last night in Orlando, but you know, we're dependent on 8 to be great.
Zion's been a big topic, fellas, all season long, and obviously in this past week in a very positive way. Graf, when you look at what he's done since the All-Star break, what is it that you've enjoyed the most from him?
It's a good question. I just think watching him on a night in and night out basis, how much fun he's having. I don't think he's had this much fun in his pro career. I mean, he probably hadn't had this much fun since he was a Duke. That to me, I think is the best part. We all knew what he could do. We just haven't seen it on a consistent basis. We saw a glimpse of it. I'd say a glimpse because it was a pretty small sample size last November and December when he was playing like an MVP. I know it was a bit of a struggle last night. Excuse me. I think he was trying to force the issue a little bit too much. But, you know, you'll take that. I mean, you know, though, he's trying to be the man, which if you're a Pelicans fan, you got to love, because yeah, that's what he's supposed to be doing. He is the man. But he's having a lot of fun doing it. And his teammates are rallying around him. That to me is the best part. Again, what we see on the court, we know he's capable of doing it. But we haven't seen the sheer joy of him playing basketball in the last couple of months that we're seeing him with right now.
JD?
I'm gonna narrow it down to Z's defense. Because he's been engaged. He's really been putting forth the effort on that end. Look, Z's going to score. He's going to score in this league because you play man-to-man, and there's no man that's going to be able to guard him and keep him away from the rim for the entirety of the game. He's going to score. But to see the energy he's expending on defense, the chase down blocks, that's the kind of energy you see him when he's running the court for alley-oops. He's actively trying to stay, doing a great job of making sure he moves his feet and stays in front of people. And it's not so much, you know, the block shots, even though that's up, but it's the challenges. I mean, you know, so the last nine games for Z, he's averaging 7.7 rebounds, which is, you know, he was the season he's at 5.8. So he's up about 2 rebounds. He's at 1.2 steals before the season. He's at less than a steal a game, 0.9. Mm-hmm. He's at 1.3 blocks for the season. He's less than a block a game at 0.6. So he's a guy who's really gotten engaged defensively. And I know you say, well, you know, Herb Jones ought to rub off on everybody when you come to defend it. Well, not necessarily, because look, if Zion scores 35, and he doesn't guard anybody and the Pels win, who's talking about his defense? Nobody. You don't care. You just care about the end result. But he's really chipped in on that end. And the Pels as a team are defending in a league where defense isn't always rewarded all the time, especially in such an offensive league. But I just like the fact that he's really engaged defensively. And it's not so much, you know, a lot of times you say, well, you know, he's a willing defender. Well, you know what that means? That means the dude ain't guard nobody. Yeah, that's what it means. That's just a nice way of saying he ain't guarding anybody. He's a willing defender. Well, no, he's actually defending people. And I like seeing that out of it.
To add to what Graf mentioned about the way that Zion has carried himself, I've really loved watching his how happy he is as well and just how much emotion he showed on the court. I feel like one of the best moments of the last month or so was the game where he drove through the entire defense, drove like 60, 70 feet at the end of a quarter, and then made a layup right before the buzzer and then pumped.
That was the Clipper game.
Yeah. He swung his left arm in celebration of that. And I think that was just a really cool moment. And to add to what JD mentioned too, just we're starting to see the Duke Zion that I think everybody was projecting that he was going to be coming into the NBA. And so, and I mean, for me, the last thing too with him is just, I've enjoyed seeing the consistency, the fact that he's had so many stretches in the previous four seasons where he wasn't on the court or he was back for a few games, then out, back for a week or two, then out for a game or two, that to be able to see this stretch recently where he's played, you know, 15 something games in a row, and it's been almost every single game, he's the best player on the court or one of the best players. I've had so much fun watching him during this recent stretch.
Yeah. You know, and look, and here's the other thing too, with Brandon Ingram out for a little bit too. That's what the big stars and big players do, right? And put it on
literally what I was going to say. And I'm just really curious now, guys, as now that Brandon is going to be out, and we know he's going to be out at least a couple of weeks, how the minutes are going to be spread out, number one, and is Zion's minutes going to go up? I mean, look, I just go to what Josh Hart is doing for the Knicks. I mean, Josh Hart played 48 minutes the other night. He did not come out of the game, which, you know, I was trying to think, I can't even recall anyone in the NBA all year long playing 48 minutes, not one player. So, you know, guys in the 80s and 90s are laughing at that, but that's the way it is nowadays. But I think to Zion's credit, I think he's put himself into a position condition-wise that if his minutes do increase, and I wouldn't have any thought to why they would not, because you're going to need him on the floor now more than ever, he's going to be able to do it. So that to me, just, you know, after what happened last night with Brandon, what the minutes situation is going to be with Zion and how much are they going to increase game by game.
All right. You know, Jim loves the national media. So which Pelican should be getting national attention from some of the national media, JD, for the attention and credit on the team's improvement this year that is not getting it?
Well, he's been an all-star, but I think the guy who got hurt last night, I think Brandon Ingram, he's really somewhat subjugated himself and been willing to fall into the background and not, you know, you get guys who are stars or who believe they're stars and their role lessens or they don't score as much as they're accustomed to scoring or as much as they're capable of. And you'll get guys who pout, who will kind of, I don't want to say not give their best effort, but guys who you can read their body language, you know, well, you know, I didn't get a shot this time, so I got to take one or something like that. But Brandon Ingram's been really willing to be a great teammate and the trade-off is wins. And that's what you want. You want a guy who's going to be unselfish in the wins. And I know the folks who love him, you know, the most are saying, you know, man, he needs to get, you know, 25 shots a game. Well, he's satisfied with the results. He and Zion, both of those guys seem like the highest priority one for them right now is winning. And it doesn't necessarily mean it doesn't matter who's doing the scoring because since the All-Star break, he's played 12 games. He's averaging 19 points. Now Brandon Ingram can roll out of bed and get to 25. Okay. He's averaging 19 points But he's averaging 5 rebounds and he's averaging 5 assists and he's getting guys involved in his, you know, his efficiency is up. He's at 49% from the field. And so, and he'll have a game where he'll bust out and get you 34, but he doesn't feel the need to force anything. And I think that's really been something that's been overlooked because, you know, Zion's obviously going to get a lot of credit for what's going on. He's the number one overall pick. He's carrying the team. He's got the team on his back, but he's got a guy who there have been clutch moments still during this stretch where Zion's going well, where Brandon Ingram will make a big shot. He'll make a tough shot. He'll make a great pass. You know, those things that kind of go under the radar because he's not jumping off scoring 28 a game. And I think him just being really unselfish is something that's kind of slid under the radar a little bit.
Brad?
I don't know how I can add any more than that than what a journalist just said. I agree. and what you know, see what he's done on the defensive end. It's never going to be talked about. He's just been really, really good. His best defensive year, really, since his rookie year when he was in LA. And just what we're seeing with the block shot. He's using that wingspan, the 7-2 wingspan, the block shots, the rebounding. JD mentioned getting other guys involved. It's funny because, you know, I did a show a couple months ago with Antonio Daniels and Rick Kamla. They do the Give and Go show on NBA radio. And I'm banning myself from NBA radio now because two of the last three times I've been on, it's been a disaster the next game, including last night. The only game that we actually won after I did the show with them was the AD show. So I will be able to go on that. But Rick Kamla asked me about, this was prior to the All-Star break. He goes, you know, talk to me about C.J. McCollum and Brandon Ingram and Zion Williamson. Do you think that they're all-stars? And I said, well, in our minds they're all-stars, but they're not going to be all-stars because they're not putting up the numbers. And everything in the NBA is about numbers. I mean, that's all it is. There's like, how many points is he scoring? You know, how many rebounds? None of those guys had the numbers to be all-stars. But what they do for the team individually, you know, you can't put it into measurables. And that's Brandon Ingram to me. And that's why he isn't going to get any type of national recognition because he doesn't have the sheer numbers, but we're okay with that because we know what he means to the team and what he does in all the other assets, all the other facets, excuse me, of this Pelican team. So yeah, I'm going with Brandon myself.
My answer for most deserving of more national attention and recognition, I mean, one of the answers I was going to give is Herb Jones, but I feel like we've talked about him a lot lately and we're going to be talking about him a lot in the near future. That's a tease for people, you know, next week and beyond in terms of a certain campaign that he may have for a certain individual award. But if you paid close attention to the text that I sent with the categories, I didn't say which Pelicans player. I said which Pelican. And that left me open to be able to use Willie Green as my answer for this.
Bunch. Outside the box.
Oh, the nuance.
Who deserves more recognition? You know, Antonio Daniels, our guy on TV, always talks about how we as media and even fans too tend to always give credit to the players when the team wins, but blame the coaches when they lose. And I feel like Willie deserves more credit for just the improvement that this team has made. And just, I mean, he's has one of the more difficult jobs in the league based on how to figure out, I have 12 guys who deserve minutes, but I can only play 9. So that's part of it. But also I think another factor in terms of why he hasn't gotten as much national recognition is there's been so many guys that have done a really good coaching job across the NBA. I mean, one of them we saw last night with Orlando, that Jamal Mosley, I think he's done an amazing job. And yet when you hear people discuss coach of the year, it doesn't seem like that often he's in the top 2 or 3 because you have guys like Mark Degnault from OKC. He might be the front runner. You have JB Bickerstaff in Cleveland, who has them as a top 3 team in the East, despite having tons of huge injuries and key guys out of the lineup. So there's been so many head coaches that you can give credit to, but I think somewhere in that mix, we need to give a nod to Willie Green for the Pelicans being one of the most improved teams in the league this season.
Is this one of quickly guys about 30 seconds here? Is this one of the most competitive coach of the year seasons that you guys have seen?
No doubt about it. I mean, there's a ton Absolutely. Of tons of candidates who you could give who would be worthy of winning. Real quick on Willie, 15 seconds. Mm-hmm. Think about this. Willie Green started his coaching career 1-12 and 3-16 without his best player. Mm-hmm. And now he's above 500. You know, he's 7 games over 500 now. It took him a while, but he didn't have his best player for a season, basically a season and a half of those 3 years. And Brandon Ingram has missed a bunch of games too. And he's still been able to kind of wade through the waters and get to where he is right now.
All right. Final question. Scale of 1 to 10. How important to you do you think is to get a 4 seed and have game one be at the Blender, JD?
You know, I'm going to go a 5. I'm mid on that because staying out of the play-in to me is success for the season. I want the Pels to not be in that sudden death situation in the play-in. And once they get in the playoffs and they're healthy with Brandon Ingram back, knock wood, I'll take my chances. I'll take my chances because, you know, really the only team in the top 5 that I have trepidation about is Denver. Denver just has not been a good matchup for the Pelicans. But everybody else, I'll take my chances. And it doesn't have to be 4 in home court. It can be 5. It can be 6. I'll take my chances with this team because this team looks the part right now. They look like they have the requisite parts to make some noise.
I think JD and I have been working too long together. I was going to say the exact same thing. I'm giving it a 5. I don't think you need home court advantage. I mean, it'd be nice, don't get me wrong, but the Pels have shown the ability, as I mentioned earlier in the show, to go on the road and win. I don't think there's a Western Conference team that's going to be in the playoffs where you go into that arena. I know Denver's tough. I know it is, but we've won there in the past. I don't think there's any type of arena that we couldn't go into and win enough games in a playoff series to get it done. And unfortunately now with Ingram out, getting that 4 spot's going to be a lot harder. I just think right now it's getting into the playoffs, hopefully top 6, but getting in right now is the number one priority and it's not home court.
My scale of 1 to 10 is a 4, which also is coincidentally how many games the Pelicans have won in a row in crypto.com arena against the Clippers. They've also won 5 out of their last 6 road games against LA there. So obviously if the Pelicans finish as the 5 seed, the most likely opponent they're going to have is the Clippers. And beyond the success that the Pelicans have had in away games, specifically against them, I mean, we've seen throughout the entire season, especially lately, that they're capable of winning on the road. So I'm at a 4. I feel like obviously the playoffs are a different animal in terms of being able to win in someone else's arena than the regular season, but still, I feel like their track record that New Orleans has shown is enough for me to not be super preoccupied anymore with trying to get that 4 seed or home court advantage in the first round.
Yeah, just stay out of the play-in, guys. Try to get yourself at least 4 games guaranteed, and we'll see what happens. And this team's played well on the road. And I do think the Blender's ready to get going there. We've been seeing signs of that, especially you go back. You guys would talk about the game post All-Star break. That Clipper game felt awesome, you know, and I think that's what's going to feel like here coming up over the next, you know, I don't know, 12, 13 games. So thank you guys as always. Appreciate it. And we'll be chatting with you here shortly as we'll be at Wrong Iron for the watch party. You guys will be in Miami for what I think will be a highly contested game.
I would think so. After what happened a couple weeks ago, and you know, we got the injury report when we were on the plane. Jimmy Butler's playing.
Oh, is he?
Bam Adebayo is questionable. You know he's playing. He's not sitting this one out. So look, let's go. It's been a long time since we won in Miami. It's, you know, 2017. So It is time for that streak to end.
JD, players amp themselves up, right? When they know they're about to get into one of those highly contested games. What are you listening to music wise in the room while you're getting ready before you move back on the bus?
Oh, Eminem, Lose Yourself. Okay. Lose Yourself. Right. Let's get ready to rumble. Let's do like that.
Jim, your Thunder, little AC/DC,
Thunderstruck.
Yeah, Thunderstruck.
Wow, that's going way back in the well. But yeah, that. Why not? Bam. Little death metal, ready.
Either I'll way,
ready.
I mean, look, that's the thing. I mean, you have to get ready for tonight. You know they're going to get playing here. No one's helping you anymore in the standings. You got to take care of your business. You got to buck up and play. You know,
well, it's going to be chippy, and this is where the Pels have to be mature because you want to play basketball. You can't get caught up in the other stuff. Jimmy Butler has run his mouth. He's going to run his mouth. And you gotta brush that stuff aside, and you gotta play the game, because at the end of the night or at the end of the day, that's exactly, you can't win. You know, it doesn't matter who fights the best. Yeah. It matters who plays the best.
Graf's gonna have to wear a dark colored polo, because I feel like you're gonna sweat through it like Bruce Pearl, you know, back in the day.
It's actually funny you said that, Gus. We've got our hoodies because evidently in the broadcast location in Miami, it is as cold as the North Pole. So we're going to be protected from the air conditioning vents.
Well, there you go.
And we actually wore our winter clothes in Brooklyn because we were right underneath the air AC vents. So it's going to be very funny to watch two broadcasters wearing winter gear in Miami in the arena.
I hear you. Guys, always, it's fun. I can't wait for the broadcast tonight. John DeShazer, Todd Graffiti, thank you so much.
Thanks, guys.
All right, Jim, our thanks to John DeShazer and Todd Graffinini. As always, it's fun chatting with them. We're going to actually chat with them here shortly as we have a game tonight against the Miami Heat. What is our trending number, sir?
Our trending number is 4-2, and that is the Pelicans' record this season when Brandon Ingram has not played. Now, one of the things that's interesting, if you look at, now, I'll quickly go through, lost at home to Golden State, one against Detroit, one at Dallas, one against Houston here. One at Oklahoma City, lost at home against Miami. Now, of those six games, because several of them were in the beginning part of the season, Trey Murphy's only played in two of those. And coincidentally, that was the win right after the All-Star break against Houston and the loss to Miami almost exactly a month ago. He struggled in those games, Trey Murphy. He was 6-for-24 from the field and 3-for-17 on threes. He was kind of going through a little bit of that shooting slump right after the All-Star break. That it didn't take him very long after that to kind of pull himself out of that, though. But he's the guy that I think we're all going to be watching to see how he performs. And, I mean, obviously what we've seen lately, he's more than capable of moving into the starting lineup and playing extremely well. I feel like his pairing with Zion is really perfect. The fact that he can space the floor for Zion and open up some room for Zion to drive and vice versa. Zion gets into the paint. He draws two or three guys. It's a tough decision. Do I leave Trey Murphy or do I go try to stop this linebacker coming through the paint? And I think those guys play off of each other really well. So that's going to be one of the keys for the Pelicans to try to be successful is Trey Murphy moving into Brandon Ingram's spot in the starting lineup. I think one of the things that we have to be monitor, though, is you're pulling, if Trey starts, you're pulling him out of the bench unit, which they're going to have to figure out a way to replace some of his scoring production from that unit.
Dyson Daniels, he's scheduled to come back here soon.
Right. That could help. Definitely.
I mean, reinforcements a little bit there.
Yeah,
right?
For sure. You want to see him come back soon so that you have another player that you can bring off the bench. Obviously, totally different player than Trey Murphy in terms of what he brings to the team. He's more of a defensive guy than a outside shooter or offensive player. But yeah, I mean, having him coming back, I think, would be really important and crucial, especially right now with them losing one of the key guys at the top of the roster.
All right. Our weekend showdown is?
It is Sunday night, 6 p.m. Now, neither of these teams are really close to the Pelicans in the standings, but I thought this was an interesting game just based on the way things have been going lately. It's Golden State at Minnesota. Like I said, Sunday, 6 o'clock. Right now, the Warriors are 36-32, 5.5 games behind the Pelicans. So as far as the play-in danger zone is looking, I think New Orleans is in pretty good shape. And, I mean, we're getting down to the point where a lot of these teams are going to have only kind of single-digit games remaining. So that's looking good. And then on the other side, Minnesota is 47-22. They're 5 games ahead of the Pelicans right now. So that's, again, probably looking like a gap that's not going to be able to be made up over this short amount of time over the remainder of the season. But, I mean, I think obviously a reason for people to pay close attention to the Timberwolves, even though they're 5 games away from the Pelicans in the standings, is right now they're in the 3 spot. Pelicans could end up 6. Timberwolves could move up. They're not that far behind Denver and Oklahoma City. So, I mean, keeping an eye on the Timberwolves is important because that could affect, you know, the playoff matchups that we're about to see in April.
All right, let's see. That's Jim Eichenhofer, Pelicans.com, Jim_Eichenhofer. And if you come over to Wrong Iron for the Pelicans watch party, he may or may be behaving himself. I don't know.
We'll see.
Exactly. We'll see. Well, depends how the game goes. We will see you on Monday right here when we come back, hopefully talking about a pair of wins on the New Orleans Pelicans podcast.
Thanks for listening to the New Orleans Pelicans podcast. Join us 3 times per week on Pelicans.com, the Pelicans mobile app, the iHeartRadio app, or where you get your podcast. And be sure to give Jim and Gus a follow on X at Jim_Eichenhofer and GCAT_17. We'll see you next time, right here on the New Orleans Pelicans podcast.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
Are you on the hunt for a new home this spring, but don't know where to start? Fisher Homes is your solution. Your new home should reflect you from the front door to the kitchen and even your outdoor space. Start your journey by selecting your ideal home site, like in a cul-de-sac or that's tree-lined, and then choose from a variety of expertly designed floor plans. Bring it all together at our Lifestyle Design Center. Let Fisher Homes be your new home solution this spring and start making memories at fisherhomes.com.
This episode brought to you by 20th Century Studios' Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Director Wes Ball breathes new life into the epic franchise. As a ruthless king attempts to build his empire at the expense of the remaining human race, a young ape begins a journey to fight for a future for apes and humans alike. Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Enter the kingdom in IMAX on May 10th and theaters everywhere. Get tickets now.